Hello and welcome to episode one of Not Another Tavern, an episodic actual play podcast that explores the tropes of the fantasy genre through the lens of a variety of role-playing systems. My name is David Wright. In this first season, we'll be playing the Fate Accelerated role-playing game from Evil Hat Productions. Not Another Tavern is a part of the Dice for Brains network. We're sponsored this season by D20 GameSpot in St. Augustine, Florida. Our music is composed and produced by Jared Pennick at Z-Chord Studios in Gainesville, Florida. And I really want to thank everyone else who helped bring this show together. Let's meet the cast now and get on with the story.
My name is Erica Darner, and I will be playing Lucinda Goodwitch. Her friends call her Lucy. She is the only witch in the marsh. She is highly lauded for her potions, but she's fraudulent. She doesn't actually have any magic.
I am Nick Pinto. I'll be playing
Inara Ashenvale. I am the other witch, and I'm really, you know, hot-headed and fire-tempered. Don't piss me off.
I'm Ross Rockefeller. I will be playing Narg the Goblin, leader of Narg's Goblin Rock Band, three-time Battle of the Band runner-up.
Fantastic. So the season is called I Am a Journey, and it has its own aspects. And these are small phrases or words that describe your character or your setting. And the aspects for this season of Not Another Tavern are, number one, the marsh wants to kill you.
That's bad.
And number two, flood season is coming.
That's very bad.
Yeah. And you can call on these by spending fate points to make things go better for you. Or I can spend fate points to make things go worse for you. And so you can use aspects of your character. You can use aspects of other characters if you're, you know, in a contest against them or trying to help them or something. And I think that's a good summary. It'll come out in play. All right. So everybody has a number of fate points, poker chips, equal to their refresh. And I, as the game master, get one for each of you that is in the scene. So I have three right now.
Cool.
We live in a small village in the middle of a marsh called the Tortured Marsh. Narg, Lucy Goodwitch, and Ignara.
Inara, the G is silent.
Oh, yeah. And Inara.
Thank you.
Narg, Lucy, and Inara are all in the Drunken Stoat. The Drunken Stoat's aspects are that it is where everybody knows your name and someone there always has a job needs doing. Which is a weird thing to know about the Drunken Stoat because this is your first time being in here. And your first time, actually anybody, it's kind of the grand opening of the Drunken Stoat. The owner of the Drunken Stoat is a big, heavy-set fella named Kendon. He actually just moved to the village, which is called Stiltborough Shireham.
Stiltborough Hampshire.
It's called Stiltborough. It's spelled Stiltborough Shireham.
But it's pronounced
Stilbersham.
Stilbersham.
However you want to pronounce it. None of the locals say it the same, but you always know who's local and who isn't. Kendon, who, the barkeep, he actually pronounces it Stiltborough Shireham. Stiltborough Hampshire.
No, rookie.
Shireham.
Sometimes the locals don't get it right either.
The Drunken Stoat is actually a very large bar for a small town like this. There's lots of room. There are at least 8 tables. There's a bar that can seat probably 7. There are 2 doors behind the bar, one to the left of it, and one actually behind the bar. There are 2 large kegs. Well, there are 2 large tables behind the bar that are empty, and they have keg stands on them for the old-timey wooden kegs.
Mm-hmm.
It's all done in wood. It's all very nicely, it's all nice and smooth. Inside, it looks so much different than the exterior of the place. Which looks like the rest of Stilbersham, which is all wood, but kind of run down and beaten by the swamp.
Weathered.
Good word. So everything has got that inside. Everything has got that kind of clean, rustic feel, like he's trying to make it look like it belongs in the swamp, except that if he had just built it, it would have looked like it belonged in the swamp because he used swamp wood and all of that. But he went and polished everything and shined it up nice and then went and made it look like it belonged in the swamp, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
He tried too hard, what I'm getting at. Okay. So in the Drunken Stoat right now, some of the Stilbersham locals who are swamp people who are kind of set in their ways.
You know, swamp folk.
Swamp folk. When I describe somebody like this, I'm just using their aspects to describe them. Kendon is here, of course. He's the barkeep, the owner of the Drunken Stoat. He's a big, heavy-set fella, thick sideburns, and he don't want no trouble in his place. And he knows a little bit more than he lets on. He gives that impression. He smiles a lot.
It's kind of creepy.
Also here are people that you already know, because you guys all live in Stilbersham. One of them is Crazy Larry, Narg specifically, who has traveled from town to town in his role as leader of Narg's Goblin Rock Band.
Yeah.
Has ridden with Crazy Larry's caravan.
Right, right. But Crazy Larry doesn't drive. His cousin, completely sane Al, does.
It's completely a family name?
It's just
name.
Al. Guys, it's just Al. You don't have to say it. It's normal.
Crazy Larry is just there for the swamp octopi.
Noble Barnes is the local bookseller for some reason. He's here with his wife. Some of the families are here, actually. The families are the wealthy power behind the scenes sort of thing. The rich people, we've looped them up together when they're all ganged up like this, and there's some of them.
So by rich, do you mean like swamp person rich?
Yeah, swamp person
rich. Okay, all right. Yeah. Just make sure you're not like king rich.
Yeah, no. probably the richest person in this bar right now is the gnome who is sitting at the other end of the bar by himself, drinking a glass of water with a flower in it. And this is your classic kind of lawn gnome. He's about 2 feet tall, maybe. He's got a red hat on. It's conical. He's got a white beard. Narg, again, knows this guy. His name is Davbus Fibblewibbick. He is a magical forest gnome who is a killer flautist, but he's insufferably arrogant for a red cap. So we are in this bar. Nobody has a drink yet, and Kendon is nowhere to be seen. He's gone into the back room, and his daughter, you think, the young girl who helps him, she is meeting everybody and welcoming everybody, and she's going kind of from table to table and talking to people, and you guys can mingle amongst the crowd yourselves. Still, though, no one has a drink.
Like in the bar entirely?
Right.
Well, it's a good thing. Me drinking usually doesn't end very well.
Yeah, but I typically need a glass or two to deal with people.
I need a glass or two to usually deal with you, Lucy.
Whoa.
Lucy.
Narg knows what alcohol looks like, so he's going to go looking for it. So I'll jump on top of the bar and see if there's like a back room anywhere.
Okay, so Narg is a goblin, but people might be picturing the wrong thing when they picture your goblin. So why don't you describe Narg to us?
Okay, so Narg is small, so he's probably 3 feet, a little under that.
So he's taller than the gnome at the end of the bar.
Taller than the gnome at the end of the bar, but very Jim Henson Labyrinth-esque. Goblin here. So he's got kind of a latch jaw, so kind of flaps a lot when he talks. He's,
leathery features, 80s hair.
Yeah, long 80s hair metal hair. He's got really wide set eyes, so like his face is very wide and kind of flat, and then the big exaggerated cranium. Okay. Long crooked nose. Good teeth for a goblin, so not good at all. But he's got goblin movie star teeth.
Right.
Which is, to say, pretty disgusting.
Okay.
So he's got like 9 of his teeth versus 3.
Right. And yeah. 9 sounds about
They're
right.
They're nice and sharp and jagged, though.
Yep.
Pretty
yep,
good for absolutely. A goblin.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He wears tight leather pants at all times and sort of like a Errol Flynn style open chested, you know, fencing shirt, because he's surprisingly defined for such a small creature.
So he really is a rock star.
Basically, yeah. Yeah.
Real quick, I actually want to talk about the rocks. We have to go out into the swamp, but the reason I want to talk about them is because Narg actually has a new album that's going to be dropping soon.
Yes.
But this is a medieval fantasy world where they haven't come up with recording devices yet.
Uh-oh.
What they do have, though, are these singing stones. And these are small, flat, roughly basketball-sized stones that are – they're not perfectly smooth, but they're smoother. They have these weird – like grooves all over them.
Mm-hmm.
And they grow under a tree in the swamp called the Pretench Tree. And the Pretench Tree is where we get Pretenchy Root, which is the main staple of this swamp village and the reason that we have a village in the middle of the tortured swamp, which is a terrible, terrible place. It's a dark and twisted place from which no man has emerged. And the bones of the dead world sleep here, which is a metaphor, but it'll make sense later.
Okay. Cause
you're not real sure why it's a place, like, known throughout the world as a place from which no man has emerged. Narg specifically has been outside the swamp, so he doesn't get, well, why would you say
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I was right there with you. I do that on
people a- travel in and out of Stilbersham all the time, but the general idea of the swamp from the rest of the world is that it's a terrible place from which no man has emerged. And it's scary. There are things here that want to kill you. The swamp itself may want to kill you. But there's a root that grows underneath the Pretench Tree. The locals call it snake oil root. It used to be one of those things that was like a cure-all. You eat the snake oil root and it would make you better from whatever ailed you. There was a guy who even once tried to sell it to regrow lost limbs. Doesn't do any of that. Tastes kind of horrible. As a matter of fact, if you leave it out in the sun, it turns hard as a rock, almost like a metal. So it is cut into small discs about the size of a silver dollar. Leave those little discs out in the sun and they turn hard and solid and you can etch on them and make coins.
Excellent.
So we have a root standard. But also it is used by the wealthy of other places, other towns and villages. It's kind of like when lobster
right.
used to be a thing that only the poor ate, and then the rich developed a taste for it. If you boil Pretenchy, it turns into like a soft truffle thing, and it tastes mediocre. But the rich people love it for some reason, so there's a huge trade. Crazy Larry actually makes most of his money hauling Pretenchy root outside of the town and bringing back goods for the town. After he's traded.
For a man, that's crazy. He's pretty smart.
Yeah, they trust him with the money route. Crazy Larry? Oh, that's because completely saying Al.
It's just Al. From the table over there.
Shut up, Al. I'm trying to get you a beer.
The big problem with the Pretench Tree is anybody will know if they've seen any of the Harry Potter movies. They will know exactly what the problem is with the Pretench Tree because it is a large willow with giant hanging pods that hang down and long vines, and they are prehensile, and it attacks anything that moves to try to feed its roots because it kills things. Those things rot and fertilize the soil. It's got this weird habit of at noon when the daytime predators are out, at night when the nighttime predators are out, it just starts banging the ground around it, smashing and slashing, and these roots, these limbs, striking the stones, and for some reason, these stones produce noise. A lot of times they just produce the thudding, thumping, whipping of the branches, but if you find one that has been shifted underneath the rest, it loses its ability to hold that sound, and then you can make it record, basically, the sounds you're making. So Narg will use these stones in his performance and then sell the stones, and when you strike them, they will repeat.
So everything's a bootleg.
Yes.
Yay.
Everything's a bootleg. You sell the stones, and they will repeat the music that they heard while they were being used making the song.
Excellent.
So Narg is up on top of the bar.
Yes. Looking for...
Looking for...
The backstory.
The bag. You can't... Sorry, please get down from there. Who let a goblin in here?
What? I'm looking for alcohol.
Oh, Kendon's working on that.
Where?
He's in the back room.
Well, I know. That's why I'm going to go help him.
The door opens to the front of the bar, and a man walks in with a round head and a big, powerful mustache. And,
it's Strome.
Anyway, this is the leader of the village, the elected official, the Burgermeister Randall Marsh. No relation.
I didn't vote for him.
And nobody ever voted for Randall Marsh. So he's like, hey, can a man get a drink in here?
Working on it.
Well, that's something we've all been wondering, Burgermeister.
Well, where's that fat fella? Kendon, where's he at?
I'll go get him. All right, I do a sort of jumping backflip spinning maneuver off the bar that I'm standing on to land by the back door.
So you guys are showing off?
Yeah, absolutely, I'm showing off.
Okay, you're that's not a normal thing to do. You're going to have to roll for that.
Yes, I am going to have to roll for that.
You know, I feel for Narg it's going to be normal, but for everyone else, even for Crazy Larry.
Fate Accelerated does not have your normal list of skills, a list of things that you're good at. Rather, Fate Accelerated uses how you are good at things. Instead of having skills, you have what are called approaches. You approach things carefully, cleverly, flashy, forceful, quick, or sneaky. Narg is now going to perform this backflip, twisting midair acrobatics. I imagine, what, flashy? Or?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because the idea is that I'm going to land right next to the poster of Narg's new tour/album, I Am a Journey. Right. And it'll be in the exact same posture I am in on the poster. So you'll get that nice.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I'm going for.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm tempted to compel your aspect of three-time Battle of the Bands loser.
Okay.
Because Davbus of Fizzle Wibbick is here. But I'm not going to because I want to do a straight roll.
Cool.
So to roll any kind of skill test, basically, it's an approach test. He's going to approach this flashy, and his flashy rating is?
+3.
In Fate Accelerated, we have 4 dice each. These are 6-sided dice with 2 pluses, 2 minuses, and 2 blank sides. And then you add your approach or any other modifiers to it. And I'm just going to let you do this. You just got to get over 0, man.
That'll be easy. I did that. So the dice roll came up with 2 negatives, a blank, and a positive. So that's a net of -1. But I have +3 flashy, so that comes out to a +2.
That is a fair success.
Excellent.
You managed to pull it off. You did that thing that you'll see gymnasts do sometimes where they land and they go to stick it, but their left foot goes out a foot to the other side and then comes back, and then your arms go up.
They really should have dried this floor before they had everyone over.
And you forgot to bring a stone with you, so you don't have the stone in your hand. But otherwise, it did look good.
Excellent.
And everybody's like, why is he doing that?
Yes.
And then they see the poster like, oh, okay, it's a PR thing.
PR thing.
All right, so now you are standing in front of the poster next to the bar.
Well, I open the door to the back storeroom because I need to find out what's taking this guy so long.
Davbus Fizzle Wibbick went.
Blow it out your flute hole.
Things are about to get interesting.
What is Ignara doing?
I'm just kind of sitting there relaxing. I don't want to drink. But I'm trying to make sure that no one pisses me off.
Right. Oh, you're that girl. Why don't you describe Ignara to us?
Ignara has, let's see, she has a very, not pouty face, but she has a very mean and brooding looking face.
Even when she's in a good mood?
Oh yeah, she can be really happy, but she looks like she just wants to watch the whole world burn. Long, flowing, kind of crimson red hair with weird blonde accents, kind of looks like it's burning, and just plain looking clothing. Nothing fancy.
Okay.
Play with my hands a lot.
All right. And you are sitting and kind of watching the crowd.
Yeah, just trying to get a feel for everything. And I like to read people.
What brought you to, we didn't bring this up, but the reason, I know that Narg is here because he intends to be performing here regularly, if possible, so he doesn't have to move around so much. And why are you here tonight? Just because it's an opening, it's a social gathering, there are people, or?
Little bit. It's more of to keep an eye on Lucy.
You don't need to keep an eye on me.
You know, you say that.
This is my town.
Inara is the blacksmith's assistant. The blacksmith is Wayland, and he couldn't be here tonight, so you're not a big social person.
No.
So he probably, told you to be here so that somebody from the smithy is here.
I'd rather be in the smith, in the forge, though.
Okay, what is Lucy doing here?
Well, I'm mingling, of course. These are, this is my town. These are my customers.
Right.
customers.
Egger.
Whoa.
Dimble. Egger Dimble, who's one of the families. He's a lesser cousin, he's a Hey, Miss Goodwitch. Miss Goodwitch.
You may call me Lucinda.
Lucinda. I got this boil. It's right on the inside of my leg. Could you look at it and tell me how I could fix that and maybe give me something for it?
Well, perhaps not here. Why don't you come to
He's already got his pants almost off. Like, he's got them down. But not here.
It wouldn't exactly be appropriate.
Oh, okay. He actually, when you say appropriate, he snaps up, pulls his pants up, and like ties the rope, and he's looking around to make sure none of the rest of the families have seen him do this because he doesn't want to look inappropriate. Like I said, lesser cousin. Describe Lucy to us, please. Lucinda Goodwitch.
Well, she's a swamp witch. She does have that slight, she's still, you know, she tries to put up that good witch vibe. Okay. So she's dressed all in white. She's very young, very pretty, possibly by some strict self-care routines. She has very messy hair, but it's stylized that way. She's got pseudo magic accessories. Just really, 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 she tries too hard, but it doesn't look like it.
Right. Okay. Narg, in the back room, you find Kendon. The back room is weird.
Is it?
Yeah. Back here, everything is stone.
Oh.
And it's like chiseled. Mm-hmm. It's smooth. It's, again, weathered by the years. Kendon, the bartender, the barkeep, looks like your classic fantasy innkeeper. Like I said, he's tall. He's heavy. He's wearing a rumpled white shirt, black pants, an apron. He's balding. And he is standing in the back of this room with one hand up against the wall. He's leaning on the back wall, and he is looking at something that you can't see because he has his back to you. But there's a blue glow of some kind of light, almost like he's looking out a daylight window, and you know it's night. It's a little wind, but he sees daylight. And that's what you see.
Do I also see crates of alcohol or barrels of alcohol?
It's an empty stone room, like 3 foot by 5 foot.
Well, I saunter over and, hey, where's the booze? And peer around him, see what he's looking at.
You saunter over, but you're not being stealthy. So
yeah, definitely not.
So as you take your first couple steps into the room, he's like, oh. And the light flickers out.
Mm-hmm.
He puts something in his pocket, and he turns around and he says, "Oh, you're the goblin fella. Oh, wait, what's your name?"
Narg.
Narg.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, so what can I help you with, Narg?
Bar stuff.
Yeah. See, I thought I had this all planned out. I was gonna open the bar, and the locals, like Crazy Larry, usually he has his own beer that he makes, but he knew that I was having some shipped in, and it's not here yet, is what I'm trying to get at. I don't have any booze for the grand opening. I expected it to be here by now. I'll tell you what, I have... He reaches into another pocket underneath his apron, and he pulls out a little bag, and he tries to make it jingle,
mm-hmm.
but it's dried root.
Okay.
So it click, click, clicks.
Right.
We don't have the jingle of gold coins. We have the click, click, click of the root standard.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I have quite a bit of tench. I think that's what we can call it, tench.
Tench.
Tench is the money.
Yeah.
I have quite a bit of tench that I am willing to part with if you can get together some folks and find my ale. It shouldn't be far. I was expecting them this afternoon. Just ride out along the main road and see what you can find. Come back with the ale. I'll give you this entire bag of tench. Come back with the information, and I will take 3 coins out.
Every time he like presents it forward while talking, Narg kind of reaches out and swipes at it. Yeah, all right. I guess that's the only way we're drinking anyways, huh?
Yeah, I have water. It's clean.
What? Fish do their business there. Ew. All right, well, motivation now. So he's going to have his Braveheart moment out on top of the bar. Can I use my stunt for this?
What's your stunt?
It's Can You Dig It, which is my ability to unite unlikely allies in extreme situations.
Okay.
And at this moment, a grand opening of a bar with no alcohol, it can't get any more extreme than that.
Right.
So I'm going to hop up on the bar and invoke my stunt and give my speech.
I feel like I should give you some pyrotechnics.
That'd be cool. Ladies and gentlemen, a great sadness has befallen this bar.
The whole bar turns and looks.
The alcohol has been kidnapped. We must immediately organize a search party.
How do you kidnap alcohol?
Shh. Shut up, gnome. Everyone choose a buddy and start fanning out from this position outward. We must find the booze and bring it here and begin the party.
You're using flashy again?
Actually, I think this is forceful.
Forceful?
Yeah.
All right, so go ahead and make your roll.
All right, so yes, I will get a +2 to this and forcefully. So I believe that's a +3.
-1 give you a +3 of...
Yeah, because I have +2 forceful and now I get +2. Yep.
Right. Oh yeah, I forgot that it was a stunt. I was like, wow. So that was a fair success again, right?
Yes.
+2. No, +3 is...
Good.
Good.
Good, so that was a good success.
Good success.
So...
I imagine I can get two people to follow me with Burger, that kind of success.
Burgermeister Marsh was actually impressed. Actually, what you get, even though... But since nobody wants to go, everybody latches on to the idea of party.
Okay.
So they're going to throw a good party. What's happening right now is while you and your friends Lucy and Inara go out to find the booze, everybody else is going to start grabbing food and streamers. And
there better be a montage. Streamers.
There is a party building montage while you were away.
Nice.
All right, so the three of you are going to head out on the main road.
I'm mostly going to get away from that lesser cousin. He won't stop bothering me about that boil.
Does he keep trying to drop his pants?
Unfortunately.
Oh no.
Lucy, while Narg is talking to you, or while Narg is up on the bar talking to everybody about a party or something, and it probably means that you're going to have to go away from the town for some reason. Edgar, the lesser cousin of the family, is over in a corner next to you where you've gotten away from him, you thought. He's actually sliced the leg of his pants open and he's holding he's trying to show you the boil on the inside of his thigh. He's like, it really kind of hurts sometimes.
Then perhaps you should schedule an appointment at a later date.
But we're here now. Don't you have anything? Don't you like keep some kind of salve? Or a cream or something?
Oh, this isn't...
My instruments are at my home where this kind of thing is usually done.
All right. Well, I guess I'm going to go home then. Hangs his head, walks out right as Narg is finishing up and everybody's now shouting about a party. Party! Party!
See, he could have just made an appointment. What a jerk. Seriously. Also, the blacksmith and the doctor are the same thing?
No. Inara's the blacksmith.
Okay,
the
blacksmith. Right. There we go.
And she's the witch doctor.
The witch.
That's okay. I swapped it. There we go. Thank you.
There actually used to be
I was like, how podunk is this place?
There actually used to be a barber who was also the doctor.
Right.
And he died.
He messed up Narc's hair. That's what happened.
Well, you just were not sad at all when the Marsh wanted to kill him.
Somebody accidentally included the venom glands of the swamp octopi and the swamp octopi pie. And
that's
we lost a great man that day.
Okay, so you walk outside the bar and you are in Stilbersham.
Ham.
Stilbersham.
And Stilbersham is a swamp town. It's in the middle of, as we've said, the Tortured Marsh. The Tortured Marsh floods about 15 feet. I do not understand the mechanics of this. How it happens, but it does. The specific trees that grow here, like the pretense trees, they survive on this. They have their bark and everything. Probably, I don't know what underwater trees would look like.
Think of like a mutated mangrove marsh.
A mutated mangrove marsh with giant willow pods that beat people and vines.
Pretense trees.
But because the marsh floods every year, Stilbersham is it's built on stilts. About 16 feet above, 18 feet above the surface of the swamp. And there are stone and wood steps that lead down to the surface. There are lots of rope ladders. There are actually docks, which are just small little outcroppings from this. It's built all in the trees and around the trees, kind of like an Ewok village almost.
So it's like Venice if it was all sewers.
Venice if it was all sewers and made of wood.
Yes, okay.
And trying to kill you.
Yeah. And there are boats let hang because it's dry season. Mm-hmm. Well, dry season just means that the water hasn't raced 15 feet. So there are boats. There are some boats that are down low, but they're like the push boats that you use your stick with because the waterway is not easy to navigate when the water's low like this. It's only about 2 feet, 3 feet deep. So there are boats that hang in the trees, on some on racks and things like that. There's netting and stuff that people will use when the water comes up and there are actual fish and things swim this way. There's small rails to try to help keep the gators out, the swamp octopi, which are a thing. They only have a passing resemblance to real octopi.
And good pie.
Like it under their belly, which is soft and easy to hit, easy to hurt because it's where their mouth is. They have lots of teeth.
They like belly ropes, though.
And their tentacles are barbed. They will catch you and pull you into the water and then take you down and strangle you.
And then eat you.
And then eat you.
Which is not a delightful process. Even though you're already dead, it's rather gruesome.
So you're out and you're in the village. It's kind of quiet because it's late or late-ish for a medieval town. It's after sunset. It's dark.
Never.
A few people are in the tavern, yes.
We've left the tavern.
Yes, and really shouldn't exactly. even call that's it a tavern. It's more like a house at this point. There's no alcohol.
There's no alcohol in it yet.
Are there pretzels at least?
There might have been pretzels.
Mm. Wait, there's pretzels in medieval societies?
They're prayer
it's
bread.
It's like a German
right?
thing, right? So you're outside in the town. I'm guessing you're just going to take one of the rope stairs.
Yeah.
Rope ladders down to the surface and then go out the main road, which is really just the main long lump of dirt that's not wet and is kind of flat so that wagons can get along it.
Before we leave, I kind of want to change. I'm getting annoying with these clothing.
Okay, so...
So we need another montage. Great.
So you start climbing down the ladder and then I was like, wait, I got to change.
I need to get ready. We're leaving.
All that Lucy does is kind of like ties up her skirt a little bit so it's a little shorter, but her boots are already like swamp boots.
Right.
So actually, she's all good.
More swamp than boot.
Practical.
Like galoshes almost, except a little bit more stylish.
Boots and your leather apron and...
Like full heavy leather.
Yeah.
Because it's the only thing that could withstand, you know, my hot temper.
I guess we'll need to take the Nargmobile, right? So I'll need to ready the cart and the whatnot.
Cart.
Yeah.
Can't we just walk?
Well, we're
the Nargmobile is loud.
I'm 3 feet tall. I'm not carrying a giant thing of ale all
Do
the way
really
back here.
You really want to walk? If we walk, you're going to complain.
I'm going to complain. Okay.
I think it's just either a donkey or a goat.
Well, and a cart, right?
And a cart, but I was trying to figure out what your...
Oh, it's a goat.
It's a goat?
Yeah.
All right. It's a big goat with those big, long, cartoony horns.
It's not just a goat. That's my backup singer. He's in the band. Everyone, yeah. Nobody rides for free on the Narg train.
Oh, what is your goat's name? Is it just goat?
Goat?
Yep. It's goat.
Goat. Okay, so...
He hasn't earned a nickname yet.
You actually have to go down the stairs because you've got... It's kind of like a ramp, but it's stairs. But you've got a goat.
Right, yeah. So
that's why you have goats.
Right.
Because they can go up into the high area. And so you get him out of the stables. You lead him down to where... And you have the wagon lowered down.
Mm-hmm.
And then while you're doing that, Inara is changing. And Lucy is probably helping you because she's all she had to do was hike up her skirt.
Yeah, and goats are cool.
And goats are cool.
Pat the goat affectionately on the head.
All right, so you guys are ready. You have montaged through all of this. There's a goat hauling a cart, and you guys are now on your way out of Stilbersham along the main road.
Let's go, goat. Onward.
You should really name him.
His name is Goat. His name is Goat.
Name of the goat, Goat?
Yeah.
It's
what
Narg.
Would you name him? He's a goat.
What were you expecting?
Okay, you're right.
It's a goat.
Yeah, goat. Because the marsh wants to kill you.
We're walking through the marsh.
As you're riding along, you're about 20, 30 minutes out from the town. You can't really see it anymore behind you. It's dark. You couldn't see it a lot sooner than that. You're riding along this narrow dirt windy path through the swamp that leads out to a small little outpost, which where the main road is, that leads to the towns that don't live in the tortured swamp. But because the swamp wants to kill you as you're riding, the right wheel of your cart slips a little into the muck and then just slips way too much so that it breaks. And I'm giving you a fate point because
no!
I broke your cart because the marsh wants to kill you. And you are just shaking your head and watching them.
Oh, I kept walking. I'm like, I told you. Told you we should walk.
Okay, you were right again. What do you want?
I don't want anything.
Lucy, how clever are you?
I am exceptionally clever.
Okay. She has a plus +3. Why don't you roll that for me?
All right, so that is a blank, and two pluses.
That's a great success. As you're watching them do this, and you watch her swing around, and you watch Narg just kind of rock back and forth in his seat, you notice that there's a path. And as you're looking around, you notice the cart tracks coming from the other direction that turned to go down this little path, but the wheels were too wide, and so it looks like it may have bottomed out. And you actually see, now that you're looking, just at the edge of the torchlight, from the torch that's hanging on the cart, you can see actually a wagon that's kind of upended in the distance, like it's been moved over there in the swamp. You can see where it was dragged through the swamp, not to the path, but like away from the path and out of sight. It may not even be, by the end of the night, tomorrow morning, the swamp will have eaten it.
I walk over and check it out.
All right, so you
cautiously, very carefully.
Pick your way through the swamp. All right, it is a wagon from, we'll say, High Ever. Your traditional fantasy village to the north.
Okay.
The wheels are indeed smashed.
Is there any cargo in the wagon?
No.
And there's no sign of people anywhere?
Just the minor tracks that lead back to that path that you saw.
Okay. I turn around and walk back to you guys who hopefully have managed to disentangle yourselves from the cart. Mostly talking to Narg here.
The wheel's broke, right?
Yes.
So I'm probably fidgeting with trying to figure out how I'm going to fix the wheel.
Well, I guess Narg is trying to help you, since blacksmith and all.
Well, fix the wheel, yeah.
All right, so you're going to be able to just roll it, actually.
All right.
So how are you going to fix the wheel? How are you going to approach this?
As time is of the essence, I feel I need to make a hasty repair, so I'm going to need to use quick.
Okay. And Inara's going to help.
Yeah.
So she's the blacksmith. I kind of want to look up help, but I'm not going to. We'll just say Inara gives you a +2.
All right. So to quickly repair the cart tire or cart wheel, +4 total.
+4 total.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you did a great job of repairing the wheel.
Excellent.
It didn't take very long. Lucy had wandered off into the swamp. She's a swamp
witch. Oh, wait, that's
witch.
Never a good idea. Oh, right, the swamp witch. She does that. That's fine.
And then she wandered back from another direction and stood there kind of impatiently watching you.
Just waiting for you to be done with.
Hey, did you find the booze?
No. I found what the booze might have been in.
Well, that interests Narg more than his tire, so he puts his tools down. Huh?
There's a wagon up the path that's been destroyed, and there's nothing in it.
Are there wheels on it?
No, the wheels are destroyed. I would have brought it up if the wheels were still there.
I'm going to make this wheel pretty, though. I'm going to smooth it out.
However, there is a second path that has recently been made.
Yeah?
With tracks going up it.
What kind?
Footprints, I presume.
Gnome?
Why would you say gnome?
Because they're everywhere.
Narg's rival band in the area is a brownie band who is currently unnamed. It's primarily brownies. It's 4 brownies and a gnome.
Mm-hmm.
You've actually met the gnome. If goblins and fey, elves and gnomes and brownies don't get along, Narg is, I think, the epitome of that. That the fairies did it.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
If you stand too close to a tree, they can read your mind.
All right. So your cart is fixed, and you have a path to go down.
I suggest we walk down this little path. It's a bit small.
I'm with Lucy on this one.
All right. Come on, goat. I can go goat from the cart. I can ride goat, at least. So.
You can ride goat. He could probably manage this path pretty well.
I will be riding goat.
All right.
That's my trusty steed.
I suppose I'm leading the way down this narrow path.
Okay. So it winds pretty well, and in the distance, fairly quickly. You wouldn't think it would be this quick, because in the daytime, you probably should be able to see what you see now, which are the torches in the distance. And the closer you get to the torches, you realize that there's a clearing. Lucy, you're a local. Mm-hmm. Lucy's the local. You're from a goblin village called Happyvale. Mm-hmm.
But I've been here writing for like the last 6 months working on the new album.
Whereas I actually grew up.
Well, you actually grew up here, right. You have heard of Badman Roost.
Badman Roost.
It's just a fairly high little, almost like a plateau. Mm-hmm. I say fairly high. It's just dry in the flood season.
Okay.
When the water's high. You notice that it is, there are lutes and crates and barrels stacked precariously on top of each other. And it's all surprisingly dry, actually.
Hmm.
This has got to be the booze.
Well, of course it's the booze. Nar, you want to check if it's the booze?
You'll drink it.
Wish I brought my cart. Me and Goat gallop over to the...
Actually, lounging around amongst all the crates and the barrels and things are four bandit thugs. And these are your classic, like, they're dressed in dirty black. They've got bandanas around their heads. One or two of them are actually wearing masks pulled up over their head so they can drink, because they are all drinking. These men are swamp dwellers with small swords as their aspects. They're skilled at ganging up and being sneaky, and they are bad at thinking ahead and not being drunks.
Oh, so they're drunk.
Yep. And they're hey, what are you doing here? And they all jump up and drunkenly pull their swords.
Really want to use my stunt right now.
What is your stunt?
Professional liar.
Okay.
Convince anyone of anything.
All right, you're going to use your stunt professional liar to convince anyone of anything. Are you going to use this to make a roll and get a bonus, or are you going to make something true?
I want to intimidate them into town with us, or I'll turn them into frogs.
Oh.
So you're going to threaten them to, you're going to turn these drunken bandits into frogs unless they bring the booze, help you bring the booze back.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So why don't you give me your roll first, and then we'll get your intimidation. You're going to get a +2 for being a professional liar.
I suppose that would be clever.
That's going to be your approach. Clever. Is that your good one?
Yeah.
Do you have an aspect that you want to invoke? Does any of these help?
High concept. They would probably, if they are from this area, then they probably know who I am. So
the your high concept witch. Again for those listening. You're the
only witch in the marsh, highly lauded for my abilities.
You're the marsh witch. You're the marsh. Swamp witch.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're gonna give me a fate point. Oh my goodness, you got a +7, which is an epic success.
Yeah.
So yes, ma'am. Please don't turn me into a frog. Oh my goodness. They like all dropped their swords.
I sort of just like saunter into the middle of this clearing, and just as they're drawing their swords, like, my hair flares out, like, I kind of, like, long again, because I undid the knot, and I'm just, give them, like, this best, like, look, like, that I've perfected over the years.
A good scowl.
Yeah.
And that's when Narg starts bringing up the drum roll.
A little bit of fire.
Spend your fate point.
That's right.
Gosh. Okay, so when I step up onto, Badman Roost, all of the torches kind of just go out, but then they flare up when I step out into the opening, thanks to Inara helping me. And I give them this scowl that I've perfected over the years. Just like,
if you were a mother, you just used my middle name.
Yeah. Basically, you know who I am. And if you don't bring this back to the town with us, you will be doomed to spend the rest of your lives, rather short ones I expect here, as frogs.
Inara, put the torches out.
Narc silences the drum roll.
The bandits sit in quiet for a minute, and then they jump up. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. And they start helping haul the barrels back to the cart. As they're hauling the barrels back, everybody roll careful.
Oh, that's not great.
So you got 4?
Yeah.
All right. So that's a great roll. You seem to be good at noticing paths. Down the back side of Badman Roost, there are stones, steps cut down, and they lead down into a cave.
I kind of want to explore it.
That is definitely something that is worth exploring, but perhaps at a later date.
One of the bandits knows you're talking, and he says, "You don't want to go in there. That's where the bandits. Don't go in there. That's not a hideout. I wouldn't tell you that. That's stupid. No, you should stay out of there. There's a bear. There's a big, mean bear with vicious, nasty, sharp, pointy teeth, and it will eat you if you go in there. Don't go into that cave.
You're drunk.
A bear. We don't need to worry about a bear. She'll turn him into a frog.
They start hauling the barrels faster. They get the barrels to your wagon.
Excellent.
Do you want the bandits to go with you back to town, or?
Well, we have to get the booze back.
Right. You've got the booze on the wagon now.
All right.
You actually got some other stuff from the crates because they didn't know what was specifically supposed to be yours. So there's like a couple of bales of silk.
Yeah, and they should ride in the cart and write apology letters. Yes. That's how they should spend the time going back.
Do you have paper?
I
just start pulling leaves off.
So I have some of our posters from those events.
I kind of want Narg to be dictating. Give him a fate point.
Okay.
So Narg is, somebody else is in Narg's seat driving the cart. Narg is standing in the back dictating these apology letters.
No, this thing is rigged. It's on autopilot.
Goat knows where he's going.
Goat knows where he's going. Goat has this tape.
To whom it may concern, I am sorry, I am a jerk, and I ruined your party.
Do I have to write jerk?
Yes.
All right, so you get back to town.
Sincerely, the stupid bandits of the swamp.
Hey, I'm not stupid.
Ribbit, ribbit.
Stupid bandits of the swamp. All right, so you get back to the village. You're back in Silbersham. There are these pulley systems and all that for loading cargo back up to the village, so everything gets lifted up fine. Huge party. Everybody has a great time.
Narg's performance is legendary.
Well, you're going to have to roll it.
All right, I got this. So we've been working on the pyro setup the whole way back.
Right.
Narg can multitask, all right? He does this for a living. Goat's driving, bandits are riding, Anara and I are working on pyro. This happens.
All right. I am going to compel your three-time the Battle of the Band loser aspect.
Just give me the point, Dave. Give me the fake point. So we've got pyro going. I've been working on a new song, The Bad Woman of Badman Roost.
Awesome.
It's got that southern rock feel.
All right.
Because I got most of the stones from the south side of the marsh.
And I imagine this is going to be forceful or flashy?
Yeah, no, this is a straight up 80s hair metal performance, pyro going off. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to spend a fate point to invoke the leader of Narg's Goblin Rock Band, as this is exactly my jam.
Okay.
I'm not all about the big arena shows. It's about connecting with the audience in the small in the small bars across the kingdom.
All right.
Narg is a hipster.
Narg is a showman. All right. If hipster is what's in, Narg grows a beard. That is how it goes.
Narg, I want to light you on fire.
All right. So the end of the session, end of each game session, we have what's called a minor milestone. This is kind of like experience. At the end of the session, you can do any one of these. You can switch any of your two approaches ratings. You could also rename one of your aspects that is not your high concept. You can exchange one stunt for a different stunt, or you can choose a new stunt. You can have up to 3 stunts before your refresh rating will start get affected, the number of fate points that you start with at each session. If you get a 4th stunt, your refresh rating goes down 1.
I kind of want to add a new stunt.
Okay, what stunt would you like to add?
It's going to be named I Am Fire. Because I work so well into the forges, like I am literally inside of the forges as I blacksmith. Not really flame on, but I will emanate fire. Like it's kind of a fire shield.
Okay. Then
I'm taking a new stunt. I just can't decide exactly which way I want to go with it. Should it be cart or goat based?
Goat.
All right. So my new stunt is Goat the Steed.
So once per session.
I get to do that cool Don Quixote thing where...
The Lord of La Mancha.
My horse, my faithful steed, will appear when I need it.
Okay. Goat is always within earshot, basically, is what you're saying. And Lucy?
I have a bag of holding. I always have the right thing in my bag. Thank you.
Okay. Always have the right salve.
She always have the right salve or potion. Your medicine bag. Thanks for listening. If you want to check out Fate Accelerated, it's available at evilhat.com. If you want to hear more, we're on iTunes, just about any podcast catcher, and at diceforbrains.com. Don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe. Come back next week, and we'll do it again.